Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media ad sales. Whether you sell into print, your website, into an e-newsletter, whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, you are in the right spot. Whether you have a magazine, a newspaper, a business journal, a niche, or specialty publication, you are in the right spot. As we are getting settled in, we encourage you always to close your office door, turn off things that might distract you from what we're going to be covering here, and really focus on making and taking notes. The more notes you make and take, the more that we transfer the knowledge to you. That's based on all of the very best of adult education and learning. So it's not an accident that there's not something on your screen that would simply create many-tasking or multitasking. So we're going to transfer the knowledge, something that we consider the coach or coaching approach, and we do hope that you will enjoy all that we're going to cover here today. We have lots that we're going to share, and it was such an overload. Jed, you and I, we'll do our introductions. I'm just going to say before we formally introduce today and get rolling, there was such an overwhelming number of questions that many of the questions will be answered in the presentation today. But there are so many specific questions that we are literally going to come back in March as part two to this and literally work our way through those questions plus any other questions. That's how much response we have had to this particular teleseminar. And Jed, you and I began doing these 15 years ago. We've never done a part A and a part B. This is our first. So, Jed, how about just some opening words about Media Bids? I'll say a few opening words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch right into the subject, okay?
Okay, sounds good. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of Media Bids. We began about 20 years ago and have been working to drive revenue to print publications ever since. We do it in a variety of different ways. There's some common denominators among everything that we do, which I will be sharing today. We strongly believe in the power of print advertising, and we believe that we have come up with some tactics and some ways of looking at it, which are beneficial for you whether you're using Media Bids or not. Media Bids is free to use. We do not charge publications anything. We would love to hear from you if you'd like to talk to us further about some of the topics on this teleseminar. Feel free to give me or anyone here at Media Bids a call. There are people here who are even better than I am at trying to explain what we do. I'm happy. We're happy to hear from you, and we're happy to try to work with you.
Mm-hmm. And as we step into today, you know, the experience that Media Bids has, I mean, they've literally placed ads in tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads, millions of inbound calls, leads, and prospects, and sales generated. It's amazing, the story. And Jed has such a unique perspective and point of view from his keyboard and the team's keyboards, meaning what they see is astounding and profound, and that's why we're here. Very briefly, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began my company 25 years ago. We work with media teams all over the world. We absolutely love it. In fact, not only do we work with companies in the United States and Canada, but we do a lot of work in April and May with our clients in Europe and in the UK, and then across Canada in September and October. So we literally are based around the world as we serve our clients. We love to work with those of you that have big opportunities and big challenges. Plus, every single Tuesday we have a Advertising Sales Academy. It began 8 years ago. We just rounded out week number 350. So if you like and love what we're doing here and want specific coaching and specific strategies, please ping us, and we'd love to talk to you about that. As far as whenever we come together, Jed and I have three goals. One, we want to share new ideas to stretch and spur your thinking. Two, we want to confirm if you hear something that Jed's talking about or we're discussing today and it matches what you're doing, it means it's confirming best practices in our sector. And then number three, the serendipitous, the other things that come up that may not at all be related to what we're talking about. If we're talking about camels and you're thinking about cantaloupes, great. Those are those serendipitous opportunities that sort of bubble up. So today, print ads, and your valuable audience equals unmatched ad results. So, Jed, let's talk about maybe just a little introduction, and then let's settle in and talk about the data. How about that?
Sure. So, you know, so one of the things that that makes MediaBid unique is that we track ads. And this is something that that is unique only in the world of print. We track ads primarily by using unique 800 numbers, and then we work with our advertisers to figure out how those calls are turning out, right? What's happening with those calls? And what this allows us to do is to understand better the types of response that each ad is getting, but almost more importantly, the types of response that advertisers are getting from the ads. I think that, you know, in today's world of print, you know, where the bad news just seems to keep on coming, and, you know, whether it's layoffs or whether it's papers closing or whatever it may be, you know, we have a perspective which is not bad news at all. We have a perspective which is quite a bit different than what is being heard in the average, you know, at the average newspaper conference. What we find, you know, over and over again, and if there's anything, if you're gonna drop off the line, you know, 5 minutes from now, the number you should keep in mind is that our print ads, and I believe yours do too, if you were to track them, convert at a higher rate than almost any other medium, right? And this is critically important, right? This is the one piece of information which print does not shout about nearly enough. Right, because conversion rate is everything. And why is it everything? The reason why conversion rate is so important is that advertisers are averse to risk, right? Their advertisers through the years have migrated to platforms that allow them to avoid risk. You know, it started, you know, if you go back let's say 30 years ago, you know, most of the dominant media advertising opportunities required advertisers to buy space or time. As things like pay-per-click came along and AdWords came along, it changed the model, right? And it allowed advertisers to mitigate some of their risk by paying for something other than space or time. It allowed them to pay for, you know, in the case of AdWords, a click, right? And so this was something which, for advertisers, was revolutionary because the worst thing about advertising is the 50% that isn't working, right? You know, according to the famous quote. So as time has gone on, it's gotten even more risk. Advertisers have become even more risk averse. You know, a lot of the offers and products that are for sale online now are being paid on a per sale basis. You know, so for example, on mobile advertising, many of the offers that you see on mobile advertising are being paid on a per sale basis, right? Because it's just even. You know, it's just one step further in what you're allowing an advertiser to, you know, in taking the risk away from the advertiser. This is not a trend that I'm celebrating. This is just the truth, right? This is the way that advertisers have moved, and so as long as there are media outlets that are allowing advertisers to mitigate their risk, they will be rewarded. What I'm here to talk about today is sort of how to use the numbers that print generates to reverse that trend. MediaBids grew by 27% in 2019. We expect 2020 to be an even higher number than that. It's working for us. And it's working for us, and it's working for a lot of the publications that participate with us because because we have come up with a way to show the value of print above and beyond just the purchase of real estate, the purchase of an ad. And we do that through tracking of phone numbers. We track every ad. We track the results that are generated by every ad, either through a phone number or for a URL. Just really quickly, just so we're all on the same page here, what I mean by that, phone numbers are the easiest to sort of wrap your head around, but for anyone on the call who doesn't have experience with 800 numbers or local numbers, by the way, you can do the same thing with. They essentially, the phone numbers that we put in ads are essentially just transparent pass-throughs. So we are not physically receiving phone calls that are intended for an advertiser. The phone call is actually just being transferred in a fraction of a second to that advertiser's call center. But what that does is it gives us the data that is around that phone call. We're able to see who calls, when they call, how long they spend on the phone. We're able to see all of this information. And this information is critical because it allows us to understand what's happening with an ad, right? What types of ads are performing well, what aren't, whether they're performing well in publications, you know, on the East Coast, West Coast, you know, there's a million variables, and we just scratch the surface, right? You could spend all your time doing nothing but analyzing the data that's produced from the phone calls or URL responses that are generated from print ads. This type of tracking information is far from revolutionary. You know, as Ernest has pointed out in other teleseminars, this is tracking information has been around, you know, since for as long as Ernest and I have been in this business, and you know, and probably a lot longer. It's simple to do, and it's something that is that really gives you insight into how ads are performing and what types of, and what your audience wants. And ultimately, that's what it all boils down to, is what your audience wants, right? We're going to get to some of that later, but if publications, by focusing on their readership as opposed to selling real estate, you know, that's really where, you know, I think there's an enormous room for growth. Ernest.
And if I could just insert, you know, what you're hearing from Jed is not only a whole lot of optimism, but a whole lot of facts and data that support what's happening with print ads and with the performance of print ads. And we're going to hear more about that as we lean in. So we're so delighted that all of you and each of you are here. And it's also the reason why we had literally an overload of inbound questions. And there's so many there that stay tuned. We're going to share lots here, field many of the questions broadly. But then to your specific questions, we're literally going to do part two of this call in March so that we can literally take the questions and then break down what you're going to be hearing here. So we just wanted to share, it's the first time in 15 years of Jed and I working together that we're going to do this in two parts. Lots we're going to cover here. Make lots of notes. Keep sending us your questions in response to this just by hitting the reply to the confirmation that brought you here, and then we'll invite you again in March when we break down the specific questions. We'll get even more granular. Okay? So, Jed, where to next?
Okay, so let's talk about some of the categories that have worked best for us. I mean, what we see nationwide, you know, in the U.S. and Canada, is the majority of print readers tend to be older. So, not surprisingly, some of the best products that we've, some of the best advertising campaigns that we've run have been focused on older readers. Our number one campaign for 2019 was Physicians Mutual Dental Insurance. It generated 133,000 qualified calls. So these are calls that where people called and gave information to receive an information packet. That is about 67% of all the calls that came in. People actually followed through and gave information to receive an information packet. We have found that that there are many variables to how well a campaign performs. You know, we'll get to some of them later, but I just want you all to sort of to hear that 67% of the people who called, 133,000 people who called, requested information packets just from print. There are about an additional 40% of those, so an additional 50,000 people requested information packets through URL through a unique URL that we placed in the print ad. This is an astounding number because again, as you're thinking about sort of how to compete with other mediums, the idea that 67% of the people who called followed through and gave their home information, right? Gave out their age, gave out their address, gave out really personal information that is closely guarded, gave that out is amazing because if this was an online campaign, the numbers would be less than 1%. So 67% of the people who responded to these print ads gave this information, and you know, and it goes to sort of the power of print and the power of sort of the medium. You know, some of it is because of the fact that people can actually view the ad and are making a call, an informed call at a time and a place that makes sense for them. You know, this is something that print does better than any other medium. But I just want you to keep that number in mind. So our number one campaign with a 67% conversion rate and over 133,000 phone calls was Physicians Mutual Dental Insurance. Other top categories for us are we do a lot of telecom ads, so this would be, you know, Dish Network and DirecTV. We received more than 83,000 qualified calls for Dish Network and DirecTV. The education is a big category for us. Debt relief, you know, I think that the anything that has focused on homes or seniors was big for us in 2019. We have several campaigns that are focused on home improvement categories, which were up enormously. You know, these are advertisers who were not up in other mediums. These are advertisers who performed well in print because of the types of readers that print has. Because print readers, again, are more likely to have a disposable income, are more likely to be able to spend some money on their home. The average household income for daily newspapers, now this is just daily newspapers, it's very difficult to get an average household income for varying types of publications, but the average household income for daily newspapers is about $138,000 a year, compared to the average in the U.S., which is $63,000, so more than double. You know, print readers tend to be grounded in their community and willing to spend to remain there. Other senior services which were successful for us, walk-in bathtubs is a big category. Chair lifts is a big category for us. You know, the walk-in bathtubs generated more than 37,000 phone calls for us in 2019. The stair lifts generating more than 30,000, about 31,000 total phone calls in 2019. These numbers don't necessarily mean much because they're across thousands of insertions. But what should mean something to you as you're listening to this is that is the categories that are working for us on a larger scale may not necessarily be the categories that work well for you in your local market. But we've seen some common denominators among print, which are that most print readers are older, own their own homes, and are willing to spend money to stay in them, to keep them up, to make improvements, to make them more livable. Throughout the course of the year, we generated more than 1 million qualified phone calls for our advertisers, and an additional 254,000 web leads. We're getting good response from print, but we're also getting it from national advertisers who are willing to pay for and acknowledge the value of print. That's really the key. Focusing on advertisers who understand that print readers are more likely to buy, are more likely to be able to afford the products and services that they're buying, and also are more likely to stick around. Some of these numbers can be a little dry. maybe we want to move on to some other areas, but I think in general, the message here is that we've had a lot of response, the response that we're seeing is increasing as a result of some of our efforts this year.
You bet. So making a transition, should we talk a little bit about ad sizes, color, how we chart, how we work with advertisers?
Sure.
Why don't we get down that path? Okay.
Okay, sure. So what we generally see, we try to track ads on a almost a cost per inch basis. What we generally see is that the quarter page is the most kind of economical ad to place. I know that's not exciting for the ad salespeople on the call, but it's true. I mean, the results that are generated from a half page are not usually double what they are for a quarter page. The results generated for a full page almost never are double what they are for a half page. For us, a quarter page is sort of the sweet spot. We find that color tends to, on average, it performs about 10% better than black and white. So not enormously, not an enormous increase. But what does make an enormous difference is the offer in the ad. And we really try to concentrate with our advertisers on making sure that the offers that they're running are competitive and compelling to readers. This is probably the biggest mistake and the biggest determinant of an ad success, and we have found this over and over again, is that if an offer is not competitive with online offers or offers that are appearing in any other medium, people just will not call. The degree to which consumers are educated about the price points that are being offered in different mediums is astounding to me. I don't know how people do it, but they do. They shop around and they are aware of these things. So if you're dealing with a local advertiser who is not giving you the most compelling offer, in many respects, tracking results is going to be disappointing, because what you're going to find is that that consumers will avoid that offer, not because of the medium, not because of your publication, but because just like every other consumer, if they can get it cheaper somewhere else, they're going to try to do that. This is something that I think that what we do is we would rather see an advertiser pay less and give a better offer than to pay more and have a worse offer, right? So we would rather see an advertiser give us something, give us an ad that is going to generate response and be exciting for consumers, even if it means that the publications, you know, and by extension, Mediabids makes less, because ultimately we will make more because that advertiser will get great results, right? We'll get the kind of results that they're looking for, but only if they're offering something that is competitive. It's a critical point. It seems obvious, but my classic example, which I've given a few other times, is that we saw the results rates for Dish Network drop by 50% when their price went above what DirecTV is offering. So as soon as people saw they could get a better offer elsewhere, they immediately stopped calling. People are far more educated consumers than I am. So the offer is critical. And again, I think it's worth it for a publication to really hone in on that and try to make sure that their readers are getting something which is compelling. As far as how we come up with our pricing. This gets to several questions which were asked about how print can compete with online, and it's a pretty simple formula. And what we try to do is to make sure that advertisers understand that what they're paying for online is different than what they're paying for in print, in the sense that a click is really not worth anything in and of itself. You kind of have to boil down that action to ultimately its final conclusion, and that is how many sales are being made. We go to great lengths to point out to advertisers what they're really paying online. So for example, the conversion rate, just to pick one example, but this is pretty standard. The conversion rate for the home improvement category online, if you run an AdWords ad on Google, is about 0.43%. So less than 1% of the people who click actually fill out the informational sheet that they ask for. This isn't even a sale. This is just a click and getting information, right? Mm-hmm. So 0.43%, right? That same advertiser for us has a 40% conversion rate. So 40% of the people who are calling or responding online through a print ad are giving that same information versus less than 1% online. This is an enormous difference, right? Which obviously translates to an enormous difference in price. So when we're thinking about the price that this advertiser should pay, we are saying to ourselves, okay, well, at if they're getting a 0.43% conversion rate online, that means that they need about 25 clicks to get one lead, right? They pay Google 25 times every time they get a potential new customer. With us, every time someone calls, there's a 40% chance. So out of 10 people who call, they're going to get 4 new customers. So it, you know, it's pretty simple to do the math. You know, online they're paying about $16 per click, and we're charging them essentially the same. We're charging them $115 per call. It doesn't really matter to the advertiser where the lead is coming from per se, in the sense that, you know, it's a person is, you know, a person that they're going to try to sell their product to is the same whether it's coming from online or in print. But in this particular case, and I think in a lot of cases that publications work with, you know, the objection is, you know, if we can get a lead online for only $12 or $16, right, then why should we pay you so much? But you have to normalize the lead, right? You have to show them that it takes so many more clicks to generate the same thing that one phone call can.
And when Jed says us, right? Let's clarify. He's saying us as in print magazines, as in print publications. Yes, this is being run through the filter of MediaBids, but MediaBids is a conduit. Their keyboard brings together print publications on the left, advertisers on the right, and every time he uses the word us, translate that into me and what's possible and what the potential is and what the difference is between print and the digital online. And this is a reoccurring theme and conversation that we want you to understand. It also ties into the questions that were asked. It also relates to the points that we're making here tied to that, and it's also a reminder that the value of print has never wavered, which is why it's doing so well based on the data and stats and the facts that Jed is sharing. Correct, Jed?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so think about this think about what I just said in terms of your local market, and your specific publication. You know, really, it's no different. You know, you walk into a local merchant and they say, "I'm using Facebook," right? You know, which I'm sure you all hear every day. The difference is that instead of saying to them, you know, you should use print because, you know, we have a different audience, or you should use print for, you know, for some other, you know, more philosophical reason, you know, the approach that we use and the approach that I, you know, that I feel really works well is to say to them, we can beat their price. We can do better than Facebook can, because you can, right? Because no other medium closes, no other medium generates the qualified level of customers that print does. There's no question about it, right? There's all kinds of data that supports this. You know, I mentioned that on our advertisers, you know, we're seeing conversion rates not uncommonly of, you know, high 30s, 40%. Those are numbers which, to understand how outstanding they are, right, you have to sort of let the 0.43%, you know, average conversion rate online sink in. I mean, that is an enormous difference. And so keep in mind what I sort of started this whole teleseminar with, and that is that advertisers are risk averse, right? They do not want to pay for something other than a customer. They you know, and as online advertising has evolved, it's given them more and more ways and more tools to avoid risk. But what print is offering is perhaps the greatest way to avoid risk out of anything, and that is it's offering a qualified customer that is able to make a purchase, right? There is no doubt that online mediums can outperform print from the context of volume, from the standpoint of just sort of sheer numbers, but most advertisers are not looking for sheer numbers, right? They're looking for sales. They're looking to actually sell something that's going to ultimately make them money. The only way to do that is with a qualified customer. And, you know, I talk to a lot of advertisers, and they spend most of their time trying to sort through and trying to figure out how to get more qualified customers. Print is a great way to do that. So the only way to do it is to start gathering some information about your readership and about your and about the response that's generated by ads in your publication. Even if it's bad, right? Even if you run an ad and you track it and you say to yourself, wow, that ad did not do well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's uncomfortable and it stinks, and it's a lot more fun to have an ad that does much better than everyone expected than much worse. But very often, ads that perform poorly are performing poorly for a reason. You know, it could be the offer in the ad. It could be the position, where it is in your publication. It can be the size of the ad. There are many factors that you can tweak that can dramatically change the performance of an ad. But only by tracking it are you able to then say, you know, this is where we are with an ad, right? This is actually how it's doing. You know, it changes your entire perspective, and it changes what you're selling from real estate to an audience. And the value is in selling an audience. It's not in selling real estate, because again, advertisers are risk averse, and when you're trying to sell real estate, you're ignoring sort of all of these other market forces that are out there that are telling advertisers, you don't have to take a risk. You don't have to run something. You don't have to pay money and hope that it works, right? We are going to do that for you. And I know that that's a difficult thing for many publications to sort of wrap their heads around, because traditionally, ad space and publications have been sold, you know, as real estate, as a spot in a paper that you're paying a certain amount for, and regardless of how well that ad does, you're still going to pay that same amount. But advertisers don't think about advertising in that way. I'm not suggesting you can't still sell it that way. I'm just saying that you have to bring in some of these metrics that I talked about. You have to bring that into the equation if you want to be able to convince these advertisers that they do need to take a risk, and to show them that the risk is minimal. Which it really is, if you can show them the results that they're generating.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely gone off topic here, Ernest.
No,
I've,
no,
I've left
okay.
the outline.
No, that's okay. So let's bring it back around, and let's talk about the print audience. Let's talk about the audience side and go down that side, and what we know about the audience and how that relates to ad results. Okay.
Okay, so the most valuable thing that print publications have going for them, and the reason why I am so optimistic about the survival of publications, in regardless of what medium they end up in, right? I mean, you know, 50 years from now, you know, the chances of everyone still printing on paper is probably pretty low, but that doesn't mean, you know, when I talk about the survival of publications, I mean as entities that produce local content. I don't necessarily mean that they have to be, you know, exclusively printing on paper. But the reason why print publications and why publications in general, why I'm so optimistic about them is that the audience is valuable. The audience is as I mentioned, more valuable than any other medium. The average household income is higher. Most print readers own their own homes. Most are older, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And most are invested in their community. The reason why people are reading local you know, the local publications is because they're invested in the places where they live, and so their reasons for their enthusiasm for, you know, for investing in their homes and investing in a lot of the products and services that we sell is higher than, you know, than if they were a more transient audience like online. These are all these are all factors which make the print audience, you know, extremely valuable. So, you know, what I've found in talking to a lot of publications is that despite the fact that their audience is valuable for many, many advertisers, they want to, you know, they don't always take into account what their audience really is. And they don't necessarily anticipate the fact that that it's not good to be to sort of claim to focus on an audience that is all things to all people. You know, by acknowledging that the print audience tends to be older and tends to be, you know, a homeowner, for example, you may not do as well with a dating site, right? Or you know, an advertiser that's focused on a younger group, but the audience is extremely valuable for the right kind of advertiser.
And that's, of course, the art and science of marrying that up and the art and science of understanding that, correct?
Right. I mean, it's you know, if what I think that, you know, it's a critical point, right, to be able to figure out who your audience is based on the types of ads that they respond to. You know, several of the questions that we've gotten are sort of outside of my domain in terms of trying to, you know, do readership surveys and do overviews of the types of people who are reading your publication. You know, I think there's a lot of data that's available through the census and through through various places online that can give you information about sort of the geographic, you know, the geographic area that you're covering. But I'm not so sure that that's nearly as relevant as understanding the types of ads that people respond to. We see some amazing differences in just sort of the consumer habits among different publications' audiences. For example, we do not mail for mail order products such as. Excuse me, I apologize.
Bless you.
For mail order, thank you. For mail order products such as Omaha Steaks, for example, the Northeast and California is not nearly as popular, or the product isn't nearly as popular in the Northeast and California as it is in the Midwest and the Southeast. There are differences in the tastes and sort of the goals of people in different communities. I don't presume to know what that is. I mean, we only know based on the results that are being generated from ads. But this is something that you as a publication, you know, working on a for one publication, this is something that you can really dig into. You know, if I were in charge of a publication right now, a single publication, I would be tracking every ad and trying to understand exactly how many people are responding to the mattress store, exactly how many people, you know, are responding to auto dealerships, exactly how many people are responding to real estate agents, or whatever the products or services are that you're advertising. I would want to know exactly how many people are responding to each one of those categories, because that is defining what your audience is interested in. It's defining what your audience wants, and it makes your selling so much easier as you go forward. You can begin to sell around your audience instead of selling around your rates. And I'm not suggesting that you have to go to a model that we've gone to for many of our advertisers, where we're paying based on the responses they generate. What I'm suggesting is, with that data, you can then go, you are going to advertisers with a different mission. You're not asking them to take a risk. You're telling them what you can deliver to them. And by telling them what you can deliver to them, you mitigate their risk, right? So if you know, for example, that you've got 10, you generate 10 calls for a mattress store every week, the odds that that's going to change are very, very low. You can confidently say to mattress store A, you know, if you don't want these 10 leads, you know, I'll go to someone else and find someone who does want them, because you will continue to generate those 10 leads because that's what your audience is sort of defining. In the same way, you know, you can do that with really any vertical that you can think of. And that's a very valuable thing, right? Because it's quite a bit different than going to one mattress store and saying, you know, do you want to buy a half page? You know, here's the price, and you know, I think it'll work. I hope it'll work. I hope, you know, we have reason to believe it'll work. You know, why do I think it'll work? Well, because we had another mattress store who used to advertise with us all the time, and he said he did really well. Mm-hmm. You know, keep in mind that advertisers don't track ad results, right? Advertisers may tell you that they track ad results, and they may have some, you know, half-baked way of trying to measure what happens, but at the end of the day, what they really want is for you to do it for them. You know, it's what every other medium does, and it's an area that print has really failed at overall, you know, on an individual publication by publication basis. So if you can show a potential advertiser, this is what has been produced in your vertical in other issues. Here are the size ads that produced it. You're not going to run into objections dealing with budgets and dealing with, you know, time of year and dealing with, you know, with other commitments. What you're going to run into is how much is it worth? Okay, I sell mattresses, and I, you know, my profit margin on mattresses is $100, right? So I can't pay you, you know, I can't pay you $1,000 for an ad that you're telling me is going to run or is going to generate, you know, 10 leads, because I won't make any money. But, you know, but I can probably pay you $400 for it. So maybe they end up taking out a smaller ad. Maybe they run less frequently. Maybe they don't do color. Maybe they, you know, but there's ways of working those issues out around sort of the expected response.
Absolutely, and that piece is really key. And it sort of, as we're coming up on the top of the hour, should we talk a little bit about how publications determine, you know, the conversion rates? Talk a little bit about competitors. Should we go down that piece for just a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I've touched on some of it. The average conversion rates, and this is stuff which is all readily available, with the exception of print. And so what we have found in 2019, our average conversion rate was 33%. And what that means is that 33% of the people who responded to an ad did what that advertiser wanted them to do. That's either made a purchase or gave them information about themselves, which was used later by the company to make a sale. The, I also mentioned earlier that the the conversion rates vary for AdWords, for pay-per-click, for Google. Again, you can look it up by category, but the average category is about 0.5%. So half of 1% is the average online. For television, it's the average conversion rate is about 18%. Radio, it's about 15%. You can keep going down the line, but nothing comes even close. I mean, direct mail is probably the second highest, in the high 20s. But there's nothing that can compete with a 30 to 40% conversion rate. Right now, publications are producing that for their local advertisers. I'm absolutely certain of it. It's just that they don't know it. So neither the advertiser nor the publication understands, the value of that conversion rate. That's the good news. The bad news is that, and this is the complaint that we get from every single one of our advertisers, is why can't we have more, right? We want more volume. We want as many calls as we can possibly get from print. And so if there's any Achilles heel for print publications, it's that, your advertisers are not going to get as much response as they get from other mediums through your publication. But what they are going to get is they're going to get more qualified response. They're going to get more valuable response. And they're going to get people who are more... excuse me, more likely to buy. This is something which again, as advertisers move more and more away from risk, right, that advertisers begin to appreciate more. I think it's really important when you're talking to an advertiser and when you're thinking about how that advertiser is going to, and you're trying to get them to participate in your publication through whatever sort of pricing model you want to use, either selling space or selling on response. It really all sort of boils down to the same thing, and that is how many customers are they going to get for the money that they're spending. And by gathering the data and by showing them the information that they're actually generating, showing them the calls that they're generating, showing them the sales that they're generating, it's a much different conversation, and you're able to turn it from a conversation about spending money to a conversation about getting customers, and that's where print needs to go. that's where all print publications need to be. What they need to be talking about are the customers that they can be getting because of the value of their audience, right? It's not about selling a page for $1,000 or whatever your prices may be. It's about how many customers can I get you if you take out a full page, right? And that price. That price is going to be, I'm treading into dangerous territory here because it's, you probably disagree with this, Ernest, but for, in my mind, the value of a page is contingent upon the number of customers that a publication is going to be able to generate. It's also contingent upon the product or service that's being sold. So, I would argue that, as crazy as some of those sort of old-time daily newspaper rate cards used to be, where they had, 19 different advertising categories, real estate was slightly more than automotive, and automotive was slightly less than, home services and home service. It was nuts. I mean, some of those rate cards were, 50 pages long, and it took you, you needed a degree to try to be able to figure them out. But there's some logic in that, right? And where the logic is that the customer the value of a if the value of an ad is based on the value of a customer, then the value of the customer is based in part on what your what the product or service that is being sold is. So there are many categories, you know, where rate card prices are probably too low, and there's plenty of others where they're probably too high.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And so as all of you are listening, you know, to Jed and what he's sharing, look, when you have tens of thousands of ads and millions of inbound calls, he has a view like nothing else and no one else. And as a result, just as we're coming up here on the top of the hour, we had so much to cover here that come March, we're going to do part B of this. So here's our promise. Number one, all of the questions that already came in, there were so many of them. We've gathered them, organized them by category. Many of those broadly we've already addressed and answered here. And when we come back in March, we'll be very specific question by question for those of you that sent that to us. Plus, Jed also has shared there might be some additional parts that he might like to circle back to. So we'll do one part, a bit of circling back, and the rest of our call in March will be all of your questions. There were lots and lots of them. For those of you that would like even a more immediate response, just simply hit reply to the confirmation that we sent you. It'll come back into Earnest Power Hour. Jed and myself will field those, and any question and every question we will positively respond. So if you would, mark your calendar. This is the first time we've ever done this in 15 years, Jed, that we'll be back on March the 19th, same time. It'll start exactly the same time on that Thursday, and we will specifically address those questions and more that will come in as well. So we really appreciate your passion, your interest for this, the power of print, the power of results, what ads work, what ads don't, what to learn from it, and all of those pieces behind the scenes are intended to help you immensely from that perspective. Jed, anything else to share in closing?
Well, you know, I want to apologize to the extent that I make up these outlines and I have grand ideas of sort of zipping through this stuff, but it always takes longer to talk about than I realize. So I didn't cover several of the things that I promised to cover, and that's why we'll come back to it on the in March. So
Stay tuned. No, by the way, yeah. No apology needed. There's so much that you have and so much you see. We love all of it, which is why we'll do a companion in March. So we will just pick up with anything else that you want to cover in March, plus the specific questions, and that will be the theme. So there's just so much here. And thank you so much to all of you for joining us. We really appreciate you being here as part of our MediaBiz Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you that are out selling media and media sales. We love, Jed and myself, love media sales and media selling, and we positively are here to support you every single month. So, Jed, thank you so much to you and your team, and we'll see all of you back in March, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Thanks, Ernest.